The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalms 34, verses 15 through 19. We've been talking for the last couple of Sunday mornings about God's prescription for life's pains. And we certainly do recognize that this old world is full of heartache and pain, shame, guilt, and sorrow. And we've talked about thus far the beginning of man's difficulties in the Garden of Eden when Eve was deceived, Adam partake as well of the fruit, and they were cast from the garden. Ever since that time, there have been the tremendous ills upon mankind because of sin and its consequences. We also talked about how that each of us, within our own selves, because of our own lusts, our own desires for that which is what God doesn't want us to have or what God doesn't want us to do, that we all are accountable. We are all. We need to be aware of our weaknesses and do all that we can to look to God for help in time of need. In the New Testament, God has revealed His great plan for man. God, who is very gracious and merciful and kind and loving, He looked down upon man and He knew before the foundations of the earth, before He ever created man, that man would sin. He would need to be healed. And God has revealed His great plan of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He reveals to us many different viewpoints. He talks to us about a farmer that goes forth and sows seed. He talks to us about a vine grower who plants a vineyard. He talks about a fisherman that goes out and fishes. And then He talks about the great physician. In the book of Mark, chapter 2, we have these beautiful words revealed to us as Jesus began His ministry. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. And it came about that He's reclining at a table in His house, and many tax gatherers and sinners were dining with Jesus and His disciples. For there were many of them, and they were following Him. And when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that He was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they began saying to His disciples, "Why is He eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I think it's something that's very important for us to notice in this great text. First of all, those that are identified as sick in this text are sinners. There is no doubt that the physically sick need a physician. I've been sick, you've probably been sick, and you've needed someone to care for you, to provide for you, the proper medicinal, whatever it might be, means by which we can get better. But sinners need the great physician. So what we've been building up to in our lessons thus far is the fact that from the Garden of Eden, man made choices and made bad choices and sinned against God. And as a result, the consequences of our sins have brought upon us so many pains. Who can heal us? Who can comfort us? Who can help us in our time of great need? Well, God uses this illustration in His gospel of the great physician who can cure all of our ills. This is the reason Jesus came. Jesus came for the very reason of that we needed a great physician. So the lesson is very simple today. Whoever you are, you need the great physician. And it's just a matter of time for you to come to realize that. And we hope and pray that you do realize that you need the great physician. You may not realize that you're sick. You may not realize that you have the shame and guilt upon you. And maybe you're denying that. But today, I hope that you will come to realize that you can be forgiven. You can be healed. Because Jesus Christ came for that very purpose. In the book of Psalms, chapter 41 and verse 4, we find this text reveals to us, I think, a common theme throughout the entire Bible. If you was to ask, well, what is the theme of the Bible? Well, I think this passage might be one that you could turn to and read. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. The Bible is the story of the fall of man and the grace of God. The fact that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. It's important for us to understand that on this great day, the Lord's Day, every first day of the week, we remember the basic theme of the entire Bible. And that is God's scheme of redemption through Jesus Christ. You may recall in this great chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah says, surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Him. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He did not open His mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? Very familiar text that we have read, I'm sure, many, many times. But yet, it is the very basic concept of the scheme of redemption for all of us. Brother and sister in Christ, whoever you might be here as a friend, when you reach the age of accountability, knowing right and wrong, just like Adam and Eve, at some point, you're going to make bad choices. And when you make bad choices, you sin against God. And that first time that you sin against God, you need to be healed. You need to be forgiven. And our God is gracious and He is merciful and He is kind. And He sent His only begotten Son to be that propitiation, that satisfaction, that holding back the wrath of God, because our sins and our iniquities bring the wrath of God upon us. And just as God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, He cast us from His presence when we make bad choices and sin against Him. But thanks be to God that He loves us and has granted unto us this propitiation, this sacrifice, this Jesus who was the sacrificial lamb. He took those beatings. He took that scourging for me. He took that for you. And as Isaiah says, by those scourgings are we healed. Not physically, but spiritually. The beauty of all of this, as we look at this great thing, is that Jesus did die that we might be healed. You see, sin, as a result of our own poor choices, because of our own deceptions, We've made poor choices and we've sinned against God, and we are guilty of sin. And it is Jesus who died that we might be healed of this sin sickness. Because this sin sickness brings forth death. You will die of this sin. So if I might just appeal to any and all here this morning, any of you that have not come to the great physician to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to have every sin washed away, if you're at the age of accountability, that is, knowing right and wrong and having made decisions that are contrary to God's will, you have the sin sickness and it will kill you. You are going to die eternally. But you don't have to. Jesus, the great physician, He came so that you might be healed. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3, one of the most beautiful passages concerning this great redemption in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us." And the beauty of that great text is that God, in healing us through the great physician, through the sacrificial Lamb of Jesus Christ, He's not just taking away a little bit of our sin. He is not healing us just a little bit, and as we sometimes pray, restore a portion of someone's health. God lavishly pours upon us the grace of God and the healing of Jesus Christ, and we are completely forgiven. We are completely healed of any and all sins. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is for all of us. I would like for us to consider this morning, as we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. The good news is that we are able to have healing of all of our spiritual diseases. Now, I want you to make sure you get this point. What have we talked about that came from the garden? The consequence of sin. What is that? Shame, guilt, remorse. All of those particular ideas of being afraid, scared, lost, sick. Jesus Christ offers to take all of that away. It's not that He just takes away our sin, as if that is not much. But when He takes away our sins, He can take away and does take away our fear and our guilt and our shame. He takes that all away from us so that we can have the joy and the peace to live as His children, as He would have us to have lived in the garden. Back in that great and beautiful place, Adam and Eve were in that garden, a heaven on earth, to live in pleasure, to live without shame, and to live with great joy and peace. It is Jesus Christ, the great physician, that brings that to us today. When we read passages like Mark chapter 1, and we'll notice there that when Jesus came, He had a mission of being the great physician and to heal us. But notice what He says in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. "And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? It is good news. The bad news has been for centuries that sin is in the world and there's been no cure for this deadly disease. But Jesus comes preaching the gospel, the good news of a healing power. And the fact that the Word of God teaches us that it can heal all peoples. In Matthew chapter 8, this is a great text that helps us to understand why Jesus performed the miracles that He performed. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, the text says, "And when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill." I hope we appreciate that. I think in the Gospel of Mark, you've been studying the great story of the power of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that just for a moment. The significance of this. When Jesus was incarnate, He began His ministry. He was about 30 years old. And as He began to speak the kingdom of God and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, people came to hear Him speak. He started healing the people physically. Now think about this. These are poor people. These are rich people. These are people that are oppressed. These are people that are depressed. These are people that have seen the hypocrisy of the Jews. These are people who have felt the end of a whip by the Romans. They had nothing. They had no hope. God had not spoken to them since John. And prior to that, some 400 years, they had not heard from God. These people had nothing of which to look forward to. And Jesus of Nazareth comes into the village. And He begins to preach the words of His Father. And He began to lay hands on people. And He healed them. There were those who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the demons immediately. And it didn't matter whether they were blind, they were deaf, whatever their issue, whatever their problem. He healed them all. All of them. Now here are a few examples. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick in bed with a fever. Now Jesus chose these 12 men to follow Him that He would later call His apostles. And He was training them. He was teaching them. He was mentoring them so that they could, after His death, after His resurrection, after His ascension, He would send them out into the whole world and proclaim this great news of salvation. They would preach about the great physician. They would preach and talk about that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. How did Jesus convince them that He could do that? Well, He shows them. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. In Matthew 15 and verse 31, the crippled were restored and the lame were walking. Nobody'd been able to do that. They can go to doctors and maybe get crutches or maybe mend a broken bone. But Jesus healed them. He didn't give them crutches. He didn't put their leg in a splint. He healed them and they were completely good as new. In Matthew 9 and verse 21, people began to have faith again. People began to look to God again. People looked to Jesus because He was there and He was claiming to be the Son of God. He was making the claim that the words He was speaking were words that were good news of healing from all of their ailments. And this woman, she comes to him and her mindset is, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be completely healed. What great faith she had. And when she touched his garment, she was completely healed. Keep that in mind. Completely, not a portion of her health, not some of her health. She was totally, 100% healed. We have this great story in Luke chapter 5. And to me, this is one of the most awesome stories in all of the New Testament. Jesus is now drawing crowds. Just crowds and crowds and crowds of people. He's at this house and the house is packed. And there's this man that is paralyzed. And he has, according to the book of Mark, there are four men who is carrying him on a pallet. And they come and they want their friend to be healed. But it's so crowded they can't get to Jesus. They climb up on the roof. Now that in and of itself must have been tough. Not only are you carrying a paralyzed person on a stretcher, okay, but you've got to somehow, and I don't know if it was a side of a heel or whatever, they get this guy on a pallet who is paralyzed on the top of a roof. They take the tiles off the roof and they let this guy down, and he comes down, the text says, right in front of Jesus. Now, my luck would be I would have tore the roof up trying to get the guy. The guy would have fell off the pallet. He would have fell off the roof, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it had great faith to go through all of that meticulous hard work. And they let this guy down and he's right in front of Jesus. Jesus sees the great faith of these men. You see, it wasn't just the faith of the man on the pallet. It was the faith of the men that was trying to help him to be healed. He commended them as well. But he says to the man on the pallet, your sins are forgiven. Everybody freaks out. What? What has he said? And there were some of the pious Jews that were there and they were reasoning in their minds, how can this man say such a thing? And Jesus, being divine, being the Son of God, he knew what they were thinking. And he replies to them and said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or take up your bed and walk? That's a great question. Which is easier to do? If I go to Eric and I say, Doc, you know, my back's bothering me. Can you just heal me completely? He might say, well, if I could do that, I could say to you, your sins are forgiven. You can't do that. Now, Eric's a good chiropractor and he can help. But he cannot do what Jesus Christ, the great physician, did. So what was Jesus' point? Think a minute. Why are you thinking and reasoning so negatively the way you are about me? Could not I forgive sins because I have demonstrated to you that I can heal anybody 100% completely well immediately? Who can do such a thing as to heal that way? Only God. His point? I'm the Son of God. So here, bingo, is the deal of why there's just pages after pages after pages after pages in this book about the miracles of Jesus. What is he trying to tell us? If Peter can walk on the water, if he can heal a blind man, if he can heal this paralytic, then what can he also do? He can forgive all of my sins. Listen, we get so down, we get so discouraged, we get so depressed because we are feeling the weight of our sins and our guilt and our shame. God can heal all of that. He can heal that. And the only reason He doesn't heal that is because we do not come to Him with the kind of faith that is demonstrated on the men and the women that came seeking a physical miracle. We must come to Him in all faith, believing in Him and trusting in Him. When you come to Jesus Christ, He will forgive you all of your sins. He will heal you completely. The woman in the city who was a sinner. I believe the text makes it very, very clear about even those who have many sins will be forgiven much. The result in will be those that have been forgiven much versus those who have been forgiven little. And I'm not sure that there's anybody that is forgiven little. I think all of us are forgiven much. We should then, in return, love much. When we are not coming to Jesus Christ, the great physician, with faith, bringing our sin-sick soul, looking for complete healing. When we're not looking for that, maybe because we're deceived, maybe because we're rebellious, maybe we just don't believe in all of that kind of stuff. We don't love. We're miserable. All we're consumed with is what we want for the flesh and to live according to this old world. And the sad thing, one of these days you're going to die. And you will have missed the most precious healing blessing that God has ever offered. You have missed it. There were so many other great things that Jesus did. The text says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which were, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. I think that's hyperbole, which, even if it's literal, the point is still, Jesus did so many great things. Why doesn't God perform instantaneous physical miracles today? Now that's been a debate, an argument about so many. Haven't we learned yet through the Gospels why He did what He did physically? He didn't come to heal the physical sick. He came to heal the spiritual sick. He proved through all that He healed physically that He had the power to heal spiritually. So His point has been made. We have the evidence. As we preach the gospel to each and every lost sick soul, we talk about the physical healing that He did. Not saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ today offers complete physical healing of all of our diseases. God does not offer that. That is not why Jesus died on the cross, so you could be healed of your cancer physically. That is not the point. That is not the good news that Jesus came and proclaimed. He used the healing physically to show that we need the spiritual healing. Jesus offers that today. He offers that for all of us. May I suggest to us that these very words, these miracles, these deeds, these good deeds that Jesus did, John said, many other signs He also performed in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. If you're here today expecting Jesus to do some physical healing of your body, that's not the call of the gospel. That's not the mission of the church. The mission of Christ and His people is that He showed us He could heal all physical ailments so that He might convince you that He can heal you spiritually. Did you know you can go to heaven and live eternally with Jesus Christ forever and ever if you die of cancer? But if you die of sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? You see, He says, come to Me. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, when you live in the world and all of the consequences of sin, it wears you out. Look at the drug addict. Maybe 30 years old. Been on drugs for 10 years. How old do they look? 100? This whole world and all that it has to offer just strangles you. Strangles the very life out of you. You know who Jesus calls? He doesn't just call middle class white Americans. He calls the drug addict. He calls the prostitute. He calls all of the sinners of this world. The gospel is for everybody. Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. And I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You see, the comparison that Jesus is making, what you're having to bear, what you're having to deal with in this old world without the great physician, versus if you come to Him and He takes all of your burdens and He heals you. There's that comparison. Have you been struggling through life and you know that there's something not right? You know that there's something missing? That's why people try drink. That's why people try smoke. That's why people shoot up. That's why people do what they do. Because they're looking for a fix. And it doesn't fix you. All it does is kill you. That's what the devil offers. That's what this world offers. And any person in this physical life that is encouraging you to do those sort of things, they are not your friend. Here's what Jesus, who is a real friend, says to you. Come to Me. Now, there are people here today that need to come to Jesus. And why you won't, I have no idea. All you're doing is hurting yourself. And maybe you think that at some point in time, you've got plenty of time. You have no assurance of tomorrow. You need to come today. You need to come today. And we can what if, and we can but this, and we can talk well that, and we can reason through it, and we can deceive ourselves into thinking. This sermon is not for me. It's for you. He told His disciples later to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized should be saved. But he who has disbelieved should be condemned. Now here's a simple question. Here is the hub of the gospel message. He told His disciples, I want you to go out and I want you to tell every person. You need to believe and you need to be baptized into Christ. What does that get you? All your sins forgiven. Everything's healed. Question. Are you listening to the great physician? By the fact that you're sitting in this building, at least you're in the doctor's office. But are you going to listen to what the doctor says? Or are you going to leave home with your sickness and die? Well, see, that's a choice. When you were dead in your transgressions and your uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. You made some dumb choices. Me too. You committed sins. Me too. You embarrassed about them. Me too. But I'm thankful to God that He says, I'll forgive you of all of that. Remember the story of the guy that's being let down into the house? Jesus pronounced his sins forgiven, right? But what else did Jesus do? Take up your pallet and walk. And immediately he gets up and he walks out. Now, remember, it was too crowded to get in. How does he walk out? If they're all crowded around him and he's laying there paralyzed and Jesus says, take up your pallet and walk. When he got up and he got his pallet, what do you think the people did? They made a path and allowed him to walk out. What also did Jesus say to that crowd by implication? Not only was he walking completely healed of his being paralyzed, he was walking out with a soul that was white and clean. No sins anymore. How are you going to walk out of this building? You came in here with all of your sins. You going to leave with them too? If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You see, Jesus appeals to us as disciples as well. You see, once you are baptized into Jesus Christ, the great physician heals you of every sin. But here's something else that God knows. As a disciple, we'll sin again. You will sin again. And if you say that you don't, you're a liar. So what this great message of today simply says to all of us about the great physician, we all need Him. We all need Him every day. We all make mistakes. And that's what all of us in this building today have in common. We all have in common this one simple, sad story. We're sinners. But what we can all have in common is that the great physician can heal us. When you study the Bible, there is no doubt that there's a lot of death, sorrow, sin. But the overall theme of this great book is grace, love, and forgiveness. This great book is the story of us as mankind. And without God, we got nothing. So just so we understand, you walk out this building today without Jesus Christ as your great physician, and He's offering to heal you. You leave this building with nothing. And may I be so bold to say, and you ain't nothing but a dying sinner. Why not come to the Lord today? Can you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Can you say that? Do you believe that? Can you say it and mean it? James says the devils also believe and tremble, but you know the devils are lost. You need to commit to Jesus Christ today. You need to commit to Him as the great physician of your life. And He can heal you. You need to do what He says. If you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ, today is the day. You need to do it. It's the right thing. Be healed. Can you imagine the man on the pallet as he's laying there, and these four men have done all of this to help him, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the man says, whoa, time out. I don't want anything from you, Jesus. Don't lay that forgiveness of sins on me. And if you're thinking about healing me, where's the four dudes that got me in here? Get me out of here. I want no part of this Jesus. You'd say, what? Are you kidding me? That guy's an idiot. Exactly. When you walk out of this building and not accept the great physician's offer, you're an idiot too. Can we help you become a child of God today? Be wise. Be smart. Why not come as we stand and sing?
Father, you'll stand at the bar.